Well, the first miracle I ever saw was when the Lord saved me. That was the first miracle I ever saw. And took a sinner and just in a twinkle of an eye, made a saint out of it. That's a miracle. A miracle is something beyond what man can do. And that's something that man can't do. He can't save a soul. Been able to do a lot of things, but he's not able to save a soul. So I'm glad to be able to serve a miracle-working God this morning. I've seen many miracles over the years, and I still see God even working miracles yet today. Thank the Lord for that. We're glad to be in Guthrie one more time. Lord spared us to be here another year. Appreciate all your prayers for me this past year. Been going through a time of affliction and different things, but the Lord has blessed me to be able to keep going on. Seems like he just gives me enough to keep going on. That's about all. I don't have anything extra. Nothing left over. I just have enough to go on. Just enough to go on. So I guess that's all we really need, isn't it? Enough to go on. I have a whole lot on my heart this morning, and we trust the Lord will help us to condense it, maybe some. And it's something that we have talked a little bit about before, some other place. But Lord has added some things to the thought had in the beginning. And I believe what I have in mind, what I feel like the Lord has directed us to this morning, I feel like we'll should touch about every one of us here, especially the grown-ups. Well, the children need help too. And so I trust that it'll be able to looking on a congregation like this and not knowing whatever we need, but I know one thing this morning, that every one of us needs help. We all need help. Every one of us needs help this morning. I don't care who you are and how far along you may be or how high on the mountain you may be living this morning. I don't believe you've got to the place where you're beyond the need of help. And I certainly, the further I go, the behinder I get, seems like, sometimes. I need more help now, it seems like, than I've ever needed before. And so, I have a thought in my heart about us helping one another, being a help one to another. The little scripture said around this time of year, there's a lot of people helping one another. You know, they go out, help the poor, and help the children, and around Christmas time and all. And a lot of charity and a lot of, good heart feelings, which is nothing wrong with that. But I'm thinking about mostly us as the people of God. I like to get the sinners involved there somewhere too. But we not only need help at Christmas time, we need help all the time. We need help all the time. And a little text I wanted to read here in 54th Psalm. David was talking here, and he said for third verse, strangers are risen up against me and oppressed, seek after my soul. Oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, he said, God is my helper, and the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Now, we can all say, and I say that too, that the Lord, David said, the Lord is my helper, and the Lord is my helper too. And the Lord is all of our helpers. But we can say that, and, well, the Lord is my helper. But you and I this morning, we need each other's help. We need each other's help. the Lord does help us. He, and there's times it seems like that He's the only one that we can look to for help. But you and I, we need each other's help. We need each other's help. And so the Lord has fixed it to where that we be able to help one another, to be, my thought is, to be able to help one another to be what God wants us to be, what God wants us to be. Help each another to be, God wants you. I have a few different illustrations I want to use, but whatever my situation is, well then, I need you to help me to be what God wants me to be. Be what God wants me to be. God has called me to ministry His word many years ago. I need your help to assist me in being faithful in being a minister of God. I need help. I need all the saints' help to help me to be able to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life and to finish my course and make a safe landing over on the other side. I need the prayers and the help of all the saints to be able to do that. And so we need help. We need to help one another. So I need your help right now to pray for me this morning. A little short-winded sometimes anymore, but I don't know, sometimes get wound up. It don't sound like it after you went an hour and a half sometimes, but may the Lord bless us this morning. I was thinking of a little thought we had sometime back. When God created man and created Adam and put him in the garden, and He gave him everything. Everything was there. But he still needed something another. He needed something another. And so the Lord, thought was that it didn't take the Lord very long, or it didn't take man very long to see that he needed help. He needed help. He needed somebody to help him. And the Lord, when He created Adam and put him there in the garden with all the animals and all the things that He had around about him, well, then He says that He seen that Adam needed a helper. He needed a helper. He didn't have nobody to help him. He didn't have nobody to help him. And the Lord had said it wasn't good for a man to live alone. And I want to tell you this morning, it's not good for any of us to live alone. It's not good for any of us to live alone. I know He might have been talking about getting married here, but I'm thinking about something else here. But it isn't good for any of us to live alone. We need help all the time from one another. It's never healthy for me to just get a kind of an independent attitude. Well, I can make it by myself. Well, I used to hear an old worldly song said, "I no help needed. I can handle this job all by myself." I want to tell you this morning, you won't make it. You won't make it. You try to make it on your own, you'll not make it. You'll come up short somewhere or another. Can't handle this job by yourself. We need help. God set it up that way. He fixed it where, as a body, as a family of God, as a body that each member supplies the needs and everybody fix it to where that we work as a unified body, supporting and helping and backing and lifting up and challenging and holding up. That's the way God created this thing and set it in order. And so may the Lord help us this morning. So the Lord seen Adam that He needed a helpmeet. And He made him, as we all know, to shorten the story a little bit, that He just took a crib there and took him out of his side and made him a helpmeet. Now, helpmeet, this word meet, it means that something to add to and to make complete, I believe, maybe like that. That was to make Adam's life complete. See, he didn't have nobody to help him. All them old mules and cows, they couldn't do the job. He needed some human being. We need human beings to help. We need human beings to help us out. So Adam needed a human being to help him, and he made him a helpmeet and gave it to him and told him along. Now he said, "This is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. You're part of that now. You can't separate that. You can't divide that up. In other words, you just can't get along without it. You got to have it. She's part of you now, and you're part of her. And that way, while you're going, I give her to you for a helpmeet. And so we need help, do we not, this morning? I'd like to name out a few things where we spent specifically that where we need help on. Well, I mentioned before, the Bible gave Adam a helpmeet, a wife, to help him, to make his life complete, to make his life fulfilled, to fulfill his life. And I'm thinking about Bible teaches the husband, it teaches the wife, the Bible teaches the wife to be submissive to her own husband, to be submissive to her own husband, submit herself. Now, a lot of women don't like that in these days we live in today, but it's still in the Bible anyway. And wives, submit yourselves, he said, to your own husbands. Submit yourselves. And that's not easy to do. That's not an easy thing to do sometimes. Some folks have the nature that's just not very submissive, not very submissive. But I'm thinking how the Lord has given you that husband. I have written down here that the husband is to help the wife to be what God wants her to be. See, the wife, God created the wife to be submissive to the husband. That's the way he created it. That's the way he fixed it up. God's plan is right. God's plan is perfect. And so he teaches her to be that some person of submission, a person of submitting herself to her own husband. He also teaches some other things. He teaches a woman to be a keeper at home. Keeper at home, the Bible said, let the wife be a keeper at home. He also told the woman to be, referred to, I think this men too, but he teaches over there for women to dress in modest apparel. Dress in modest apparel. And shamefaced and sobriety and all those things. So the husband's job is then to help his wife. Help his wife. That's a husband's job, is to help that wife to be able to fulfill that place where God has intended her to be. Where he intended her to fulfill. Then God has given her a husband. If he has a husband, then that husband is to get in there and support her and back her and hold her up and do everything that he can to help her to be the wife that God wants her to be. And that'll make it a lot easier on your husband if you'll do that. It'll make it a lot, make a better home. It'll make a better atmosphere. It'll make a better place to live. And so this woman then, that God has told her to be submissive to her own husband. And so then if the husband it can be a great help. Bible said, husband, love your wives. Love your wives. Oh, the more you love your wife and the more gentle you are to her and the more man you are to her and the more fulfilling place that you can feel in her life, and the more that you can make her happy, and the more you can make her content, and the more that you can make her love you, it's going to make it a lot better, easier on her to submit herself unto you. It'll be a lot easier for her. It won't be hard at all. It won't be hard at all. If the man can show the right love and the right respect for a woman, and the right compassion, and being able to deal with her odd times and her feelings and her emotions and her ups and her downs. And if he can get in there and understand all of that and support her in her times of weakness and in her times of frustration and in her time of emotion. Yeah, women are just naturally like that. They're just naturally emotional kind of people. And they're up one day and they're way down the next day or something like that. But a man can get in there and he can understand and learn. You need to learn. You know, a lot of women, men and women live together, don't even know one another. You need to get to know that person. Know her weaknesses and know her failures and know her emotional problems and know and understand what affects her, what makes her feel good, and what makes her depresses her, and what affects her in her way of living. And then you can get to know that, and you can get there and get acquainted with that, and you can then get right in there and bear with that situation and get in there and help her in her times of like that. Then it won't be very hard for her to submit herself unto you then. Oh, she's going to respect you, and she's going to have such love and such respect and such a highly esteem that it won't be hard for that woman to submit herself unto you. And so then the Bible says for the woman to be keepers at home. I'm going to say this morning that I realize that sometimes the world we live in today, that it's hard for a woman not to have to go out on a job sometime and work in certain situations. But let me tell you, brother, this morning, men folk, you'll be greatly ahead if you do everything in your power to try to help that woman to be a keeper at home, to help her to be a keeper at home. You'll be far ahead of going and taking on two jobs if you have to. And let her stay at home. You'll have a happier home. You'll have, everything will go different. Everything, why? Because God set it up that way. God fixed it that way. And so you and your efforts to try to help that wife to be a housekeeper and a homekeeper. I know time we're living in now, a lot of women don't even like to be a keeper at home anymore. But oh, it works, it works, it works. And I realize, give a little opportunity here, that sometimes it just seems like a necessary, but I'm talking about helping one another this morning. And as you help your wife to be able be that keeper at home and be that one there with the children and be that one there that's keeping the house up and keeping a nice, clean, neat home and still getting away from this here fast food stuff and cooking some good meals. I tell you, it makes for a lot better, happier life. It makes for a better atmosphere. It makes for a better place to live for God, and it makes a better marriage, and it makes a more closely knitted family, and it makes for better children, and it makes for everything better all around and around. And so I encourage you this morning to help her. You men folks, help your wife to be able to be a keeper at home. Do that. Do all you can to help her to fulfill that place that God has called her to fill. That's where God placed her. That's where God called her to be. That's what God created her for, was to be that keeper at home, a submissive to her husband, and being a mother to her children, and a wife to her husband. That's what God created a woman for in the beginning. Amen. Amen. And so, get in there. Lord help you. Stay with me a little while. I got a lot of other thoughts. But anyway, stay in there. And then as you do that and you help her to be able to fulfill that place that God has placed her to be, it's just going to naturally work out all better for everybody. She'll be more happier and you'll be more happier too. Bible teaches for a woman to dress in modest apparel. Modest apparel. I don't go into that very deep, but I'm going to say, you husbands, you need to do all you can to help your wife to fulfill that place. Well, I don't want my wife looking like an old fogey. Well, I wouldn't either if I had one, but nothing wrong. But you know, I have known of cases where actually sisters just really grieved the Lord trying to satisfy their husband. He didn't want her to put her dresses down where they're supposed to be. He didn't want her to dress in plain, simple clothes and things like that. Didn't want her to do that. Well, I guess we'd want our wife looking nice as we could, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But the Bible has taught that woman to be dressed in modest apparel. And therefore, you husband, I know you want that wife to look as, like I said, so forth and so on. But anyway, you remember the Lord has told her to dress in modest apparel. The Lord told her to be that kind of a person. And so by being a real husband and being a real support to your wife, then you can help her to fulfill that place that God has placed her to be. The Bible teaches that it's a glory for a woman to have long hair. It's a glory for a woman to have long hair. And it's the most womanly looking thing I ever saw, a woman to have long hair. But anyway, some men, brother, Lord help us here, but some, well, I don't want my wife that old long stringy hair, want to get it straightened up a little bit and twist it up a little bit and cut it off a little bit and fix it a little bit around here. But you'll be way ahead this morning if you'll help your wife to be able to fulfill that place that God wants her to fill. See, you can help her. You can help her. Why, honey, you're right. Your hair, I just love to see that long hair. Why, that's wonderful. Oh, I love it. You can just tell them that. And the way you dress in your modest clothes and in your simplicity of dress, you just look the, I believe Brother Austin's made mention one time that, about his wife, first wife, I guess it was, and he'd been on about a 6-month trip from California, and he went back home, and his sister Opal came out the porch to meet him, and he said, I've seen a lot of women while I was gone, but he said, you're the best looking woman I've seen since I've been gone. The Lord help us this morning. You can do that and be a helper for a woman which has a lot of temptation, which has a lot of things that she has to battle and a lot of things she has to overcome. And those things. But a man's place, God has placed that man there to be a helper to that woman, to be what God would have her to be. So turn it around on the other side. And the Bible says for the man for a husband to love his wife. Love his wife. And esteeming her very highly. Well, listen to me, wife. Tell them husband's place in the home is to be the leader of the family. That's his place. God put him there. To be the leader, to be the kind of the overseer, the husband man, the inspirator. The motivator. God made a man and put him there in the family to be a motivator, an overcome, a inspirator, a take charge of his family and oversee that, what's going on, looking all around and keeping that. And so it is this morning then. God has placed the man at the head of that family to be a man there. Now listen to me now. Wives, the Lord gave you that wife you got as a helpmeet. As a helpmeet. And so then you, the wife then, can be a great asset to that husband to fulfill the place that God infilled him, that God requires him to fulfill. By looking upon him as being the leader of the family and in encouraging him to be that. You know, some men are kind of, by nature, and I'm not critical of this, the Lord help us, kind of feminine maybe a little bit or something or another. But listen, wives, you will be right ahead if you will get behind that husband and you'll push him right out into the place where God wants him to be. And encourage him. Well, you may be smarter than he is. You may have better education than he has. Maybe you can handle business better than he can. But you'll be far ahead by pushing him right out into that thing anyway. Husband, you're the man here. You're the man of this house. You're the overseer of this family here. It's your job to get out there and be that man to God. And the wife can be a great booster, a great inspiration, a great uplift to that husband to be a man. God wants a man to be a man. He wants him to take the lead in the family worship. He wants him to take the lead in getting his family to church and getting his family around the family altar and being the example and being the provider, and being the fellow that is respected and honored. You know, this is a thing that's getting away from the world too, isn't it? Everything you see in the world, just not everything, so many things now are belittling the place of a husband in the family. You know, husband now, they're supposed to be, according to the comics, and dear, I read too much of that, but in a general reading, a husband is supposed to be some kind of a oddball or kind of cranky or just some kind of odd kind of a person. Not anymore do you hardly ever see very much in the world where the husband is elevated to the place that God intended him to be. It's all torn down. And now the women folks are lifting themselves up to take the place of a man and dressing like a man and acting like a man and going out and climbing telephone poles and working in coal mines and all those kind of things. God never intended for a woman to be in those kind of places. Never had no idea of that. But the woman can be the great help me to that man, to urge him. If he's the kind of a fellow that just wants a wife, oh, you do it, wife. You call. You know, the bill's due. You know, the creditors are just called, and they want you to call. Well, wife, go call him. Go call him. No, you husband, you do it. You make him do it. Make him do it. Don't you do it. Make him do it. That's his job. To get out there and take care of the bills and take care of those kind of things. Push him out there. He may not even know. I've known men that didn't even know how to buy their own clothes. Didn't know how to buy their own. Didn't even know how to write a check, pay a bill. I've known men like that. Right among the saints. I've known men like that. A woman done all everything. She's the boss. She writes all the checks. She pays all the bills and she makes all the decisions, and he's a little puppet. He brings his paycheck in on about every time and hands it over to his wife, and she handles everything else like that. That's failing to be what God intended that man to be. And the wife can be a great help by insisting on him to do it. You do it. You are my husband. I married you to be the man of this house. I married you to be over this whole thing here, and you're the one that's supposed to take care of that. You can be a great blessing to your husband like that. Oh, he's going to begin to think, well, maybe I can do something, you know. After a while, he goes, well, maybe I can. Well, man, that feels pretty good. You know, I really had this job here, and I went and took care of that myself. Why, my wife didn't even have to do it. You know your wife will respect you a lot more like that. Pretty soon, she's going to really be strutting around. She's really going to be looking up at that person. Oh, my. He's really taking some authority around here. God wants a man to have some authority with his family. He wants that man to correct the children and all those kind of things and taking the lead in it anyway and being the one that's kind of keeping everything in order, keeping everything kind of going smooth. Oh, that's the man's place to do that. But my thought is this morning is helping one another. The wife can help the man by to be what God is calling him to be, by supporting him and boosting him up. And won't hurt to brag on him a little bit once in a while. Well, you're the best husband. I don't believe there's a better man. I know some people. I know some men that had very inferiority complexes. I know some that their self-esteem was very low, very low. And their ability was very limited. But I've seen wives get behind that husband and support him. One, I remember one said, one of them, husband was a preacher, and she told her husband, she said, I'd rather hear you preach than any other preacher in the whole movement. That's pretty good boost, wouldn't it be like that? The support. I've seen that I've seen people like that by the wife getting behind that man and supporting him and bragging on him and boasting his ego and still holding him up to the place that God wants him to be. I've seen those husbands come out of those shells that they're in. Come out of that drawing back from taking responsibility that God calls him to take. I don't know what you think about this morning, but I believe it's good instructions anyway. I'm talking about helping one another. I'm talking about something that'll work, something that'll happen home. I'd like to get on a little bit past here this morning. I want to talk about saints helping saints. We need help, don't we, this morning? Saints need help. And you and I, we need to support one another and help one another and back one another and hold one another up. Oh, to be able to be that saint of God. God calls you and I saints to be holy. He calls us to live a holy life. He calls us to be kind. He calls us to be gentle and patient. He calls you and I to be faithful and to be true and to be strong. He calls you and I to trust him. We need to encourage and help one another when they're in trouble and when they're in need. We need to get behind that person and begin to support them and hold them up. And brother, hang right in there. Old brother down there in South Carolina, I couldn't talk to him on the phone. I asked him how he's doing. His saying is, I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. That's what you and I are to be to each other. Brother, hang in there. Hang right in there. You can make it. God will support you. We'll pray for you. We'll be there if you need it. Hang right in there. Don't give down. Don't give back. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Take a stand for them. We need to support and help one another. Help one another. Oh, we need to help one another to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord. You know, we're living in a time now. I've had this cough for about a year and a half or so. And I don't know how many suggestions that I've had for what to do for this thing. What to do for this thing. I appreciate that. Oh, try this. Try that. Have you done this? Have you done that? No, haven't. Haven't done it. Well, why? Well, my sister, I was over visiting my older sister, and she's always trying to mother me around. You better do something about that cough. You better do something about that cough. Well, I can understand her. But I don't need that. I'm trusting the Lord. I've been trusting the Lord. Trusting God. If the Lord don't heal this cough or congestion, whatever it is, it won't be healed. It won't be healed. So I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I don't need your remedies. I need your encouragement. I need your encouragement. I need you to say, Brother Simon, just cough it out. Go ahead. Cough it out. Well, I'm working on it by the grace of God. But do you see what I'm trying to say? It is no encouragement for somebody to come along. Well, if you take this, one brother and I was his place, and he was not been with the saints very long, and I understood his case. He gave me, he was a man that had the black lung. That's people working the coal mines and get this year congestion in their lungs or coal dust or whatever it is. Well, he had some stuff there, and he's a good brother and all that, and like I said, he didn't think anything about it. I understood that. But he had something in his there, and he said, all you got to do is take that stuff and put it in your mouth and just take a little deep breath and squeeze that thing, and it'll go down in there, and it just cuts all that phlegm out, and it just clears it right out. Well, that's pretty tempting. The fellow's been coughing all night long. But I didn't do it. I just trusted the Lord. I didn't say anything to him about it. I just let it go. But may the Lord help you and I. We need to help one another when we're in trouble. We don't need to know about that. Oh, poor old folks out there. Somebody trust in the Lord. got the old cataracts on their eyes, and they're wanting to trust God. I don't know of anything much worse than losing your sight. And it's a battle. It's depressing, I'm sure. It's discouraging, I know. It's frustrating, I know, no doubt. And I'm battling with all my heart. And then somebody come along and say, well, all you got to do, go down there. It's such a small little thing. All you got to do is go down there to the office and they'll just suck those things off. I don't need to hear that. Don't tell me what they're doing so easily. I'm trusting the Lord. That's not encouraging to me, is it? That's not very encouraging. Told a story about old Sister Barton years ago. Her and Brother Barton used to work with the sick a lot and visit the sick. And told a story that Sister Barton went over there and this person looked real sick and real bad. And Sister Barton said, well, said, I knew somebody else that looked like you, and said, they died. That wasn't very encouraging, was it? The Lord help us this morning to help one another. I'm talking about helping one another to fulfill what God wants us to be. What God is calling us to be. He's calling you and I to trust Him, to be steadfast and be immovable, and to trust Him, live or die. So don't, Lord help you and I to quit this thing. I've done it myself, I'm sure. But I don't think we need to be talking about how far medical science has advanced. We don't need to know about it. If we're going to trust the Lord. You got to battle that thing. You got to, well, yeah, you're laying there. I remember one time I had the flu and my head was hurting so bad and I'd been there in the bed a day or two and the devil come along and he said, I used to take bufferins by the handful just about. And the devil come along, he said, if you get up and take two bufferin, that would take that headache away right now. The Lord spoke to me and he said, yeah, if you get out of this bed and get on your knees and pray, I could take that away before that could get in their bloodstream. I got out of my bed and crawled out and got on my knees. And before I got up, my headache was gone and the flu had cleared up and I was feeling pretty good. See what the devil, we got people that are trusting the Lord, people that are in battles. I remember I coughed for 3 solid hours. Couldn't stop coughing for 3 hours. And that was in nighttime from 12 till 3 in the morning. And then the phone rang and somebody said, come and pray for me. Lord, help us. That's not a light thing. It's not easy. And somebody come along and say, well, all you got to do is just take a little of this and that'll clear that right up. No, I want to trust the Lord. I want God to get some glory out of this thing. I want to be able to get some help out of it myself. I want to grow in the thing. I want to be stronger when it's over. I want to come out with victory. Helping one another. Supporting one another. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. Oh, that old thing that comes out there. Those little old warts and molds and little old scabs. And why there's nothing to that thing. Nothing to it. All you got to do is just go down there and they'll burn the thing right off. Ain't nothing to it. Why, you're crazy. You're silly to put your life on the line and die when it's nothing to do it. Well, you can do that if you want to. That's everybody's free choice. But there is people that want to trust the Lord. They want to trust God. They don't want that. They don't want to get it burned off. Everybody has the privilege of doing what they want to do. That's up to every individual. Not binding something on anybody. But there are many of the saints that want to trust the Lord. They want to trust God. They don't want to use those. The medical science, it has its place in the world. I'm not naive enough to know that, to doubt that. It has its place in the world. But there are people that have chosen to trust God, trust in the Lord. They believe the Bible teaches, and I do too. I believe the Bible teaches for you and I to trust the Lord. And therefore, you and I can be a great help one to another. But when we see our brother going through something or another, that dear one is battling that blindness and that Oh, this old cancer is a dreaded word. It's a terrible thing. But all you got to do, ain't nothing to it. Just go down there, and now they don't even have to operate. They just got something or another that they can just kind of, I don't know, whatever they call it, and they just kind of operate on the thing or cut it out or draw it out or something or another. Seems so simple. So simple. But here's one of God's little children that's trusting God. I trust God. I'm going to die with this. I'm going to die with this. Wife said, I said, wife, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? When she found the little old knot in her breast, and she said, she was concerned about it. You've heard this before. But I said, what are you going to do? It was her choice. I couldn't choose that for her. I couldn't make that choice for her. I can't tell her to trust God. But I can encourage her. I can encourage her. She said, well, after all night considering it and meditating about it, I said, well, why'd you decide? I'm going to trust the Lord. I figured she would. I'd have been disappointed if she didn't. But I'm going to trust the Lord. Then I got in there with all my heart. And saints all across the country and foreign lands and everywhere got in there and backed and supported that thing. She trusted God. Laid her life on the line and died trusting the Lord. But she's in heaven. So it's no encouragement to come around saying, well, medical men have done this, and I realize they've done a lot of things. I know that. But to those who have chosen and those who believe the word of God and taken a stand for God to trust the Lord, they need all the encouragement you and I can give them. We need to get in there, brother, stand by him. I remember years ago, an old couple was involved in a car wreck. And in another, quite a ways away from home. They called me, and they'd taken them and put them in the hospital. And they called me to come down there to the hospital, and I went in. And the woman's hip was crushed up or broken up, and they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't let the doctors do nothing. They wouldn't answer no question. The doctor said, well, what's the matter with these people? I said, well, I think it's because of their religious beliefs and things. So I went in there, and well, of course, they wanted to operate on the woman, put a pin in her hip and those things. And they asked me about it. Well, what do you think about it? Well, I just said, well, her husband was there. And I said, well, whatever you folks decide to do, that'll be all right. I agree with that, whatever you all decide to do. And, well, that was good. I guess that was all right in a way. But you know, I went back home, and I felt bad. I felt bad. I thought I would have to give them and, you know, do whatever you all decide to do. You could do that. I mean, I don't have nothing to say about that. But do you know that I had to turn around and drive back 150 miles or so? And I went down there, and I apologized to those folks. I said, I told you folks, just whatever you decide to do, that'd be all right. And that's true in a sense. But I thought I failed to encourage them. I didn't say a word to them about trusting the Lord. I, as a minister, should have encouraged them. Well, folks, just put your trust in God. God will take care of it. That's what I tell people. Put your trust in God. But I had to turn around and make a trip back to apologize to these folks because I didn't encourage them to trust the Lord. Is that too straight? No. God wants you and I to be helpers one of another. He wants you and I to encourage that person to trust. Oh, well, just do whatever you feel like. Well, everybody has their choice. But our job as saints and ministers is to encourage that person. God can take care of this. You know, we're so prone to draw back, aren't we? We're so prone to just kind of clam up, just trying to leave it alone. But no, brother, sister, I had that thing, and God healed me. God healed me. I knew this brother that had the same thing you've got, and God healed him and made him well. I knew a sister that went through the same thing you're going through, and God brought her through. Don't that sound better? Don't that sound more saintly like, brotherly like? God help us today, helping one another to be true. You and I are saints this morning, and as the church, I don't know how you're getting along where you're at. I know it's so easy. I know it's so easy to just kind of lean to man's way of doing things. I know there's easy ways out. And another message on my heart along that line. But it's so easy just to give in to the, you know, to what's around me. Well, these folks over here are doing it. And so-and-so did it. And I guess it's not so bad. Oh, the Lord help you and I. The church today is going through a great trying time right now. If you're trusting God and you're endeavoring to live holy and righteously and you have taken a stand for God and you have turned your back on the world and you quit trusting in the shadow of Egypt and you quit going down into Egypt for help, you're going to need all the help you can get. I'm going to need all the encouragement I can get. Because you're going to get it from every side. If you take a firm, bold stand for truth and for right, and you separate yourself from the ways of men and the ways of this old world, and you take a bold stand for righteousness and holiness and godliness and faith and trust and confidence, and you live soberly and righteously and godly right here in this world, and you put your life on the line, you trust God, live or die, you're going to be opposed on every side. Your family are going to turn right against you, and your friends are going to turn against you. And your neighbors are going to turn against you. Yes, they will. They may be good neighbors, but you let the fire get hot. They'll show what color they are. And that's why that you and I as saints, and I hope every one of us here, would purpose in our heart to separate ourselves from the world and quit even looking to the world. Woe be unto the man that go down into Egypt for help. Lord, help us this morning. Take a stand for God. Put our life on the line. Going to trust God. Going to serve God. No matter what grandma says. No matter what my children say. Going to trust God anyway. You know, children can be a great hindrance to your spirituality. You know, they're pretty persuasive sometimes. Oh, Dad, just do this. Oh, Mom, you know, we love you so much. Oh, I love you so much, but I don't want you to die. Well, that's normal. That's natural like that. But oh, children, you're not doing your mommy any real. You're not being a real blessing to her. If it's been her desire to trust God, and she has trusted the Lord, and she has lived for God for down through the years, and now she's getting up there to the place where that she needs more help than ever before. You can be a great help and a great blessing to your parents to stand right in there with them and hold them up. You know what they believe. You know what they've taught you. You know how you stood. You know how they brought you up. You'll be a great head and you'll gain the favor of God. You'll be blessed in your soul. You'll be prospered in things of God if you'll stand with them and hold them up and support them in their battle. Don't suggest dragging them off to the hospital somewhere or another. That's what they do now, to drag them off somewhere or another. Old doctor get a hold of them and
He just says you're going to die if you don't do this, and you're going to die if you don't do that, and just go over there and submit all those kind of things. Oh, children here, if you've got parents that are trusting God, get in there and hold them up, support them, back them, abide by their teaching, abide by their stand they've taken. Oh, God will bless you for it. I don't even care if you're unsaved today. You'll still be, God will still honor that. You'll still honor if you'll stand with your parents and you'll support them in their efforts to live and trust God. May God bless us this morning. Oh, we need help, do we not, today? Well, folks get old if you live long enough, don't we? Old people know you need a lot of help. Need a lot of help. Well, we get old and we get kind of senile sometimes, and we don't move very fast, and we forget things, and we may be not just as patient all the time as we ought to be. But all old people need help. They need help. But let me tell you a few things how to help them and how not to help them. I tell you, the worst thing you can do for an old person who is able to still able to do things is to do everything for them. Amen. That's the worst thing you can do. That ain't no help to an old person at all. You just want to get in there and just wait on them hand and foot. Take all the responsibilities away from them. Don't include them in what you're doing, your work. Don't give them nothing to do. That's about a discouraging thing you can say. You can be a great help to an old person. As long as they're able to do something another. As long as they're able to work and do something. You'll be a great help to that old person. To encourage them to take care of themselves. To get in there. Give them a job to do. They might turn it over before they get it done. But let them do it anyway. As long as you can encourage that old person to take care of yourself. Do some. Do your own cooking if you possibly can. Take care of your own house if you're still able to do that. And encourage them. Don't set them aside. Don't just put them off in the corner somewhere. When them old people, and I know sometimes old people have to go to nursing homes and old people's homes and things like that. I know that's necessary sometimes. But I'll tell you what happens. Most of the time, many times, when they go through them doors, They go in there to die. Most of the time. That's where they're going. Going there to die. And as far as they're concerned, many, many times, life is over. We're just existing now. I know that there's times people have to go to the homes and have extra care and all those kind of things. I'm not condemning that at all. But generally speaking, when these people by the thousands going into these old people's homes and nursing homes and all those things. I know some of them have to be there. Nobody take care of them and so forth. But generally their thoughts is, I'm just going in here to die. And they're just waiting around to die. I say you can be a great help to old people. As long as they're able to do anything, encourage them to do it. Encourage them to do it. Get up out of there. Get up out of your chair and do something. Get moved. Give them a job. Give them a responsibility. Give them something where they're going to be happier doing something or another. And so may the Lord help us to help one another. Now, the sinner, he sure needs a lot of help, don't he? He needs a lot of help. And you and I need to help him all that we can. I was down to my sister's house here the first of the week. And my niece and her husband, well, the man she lives with, she was married about two or three times. But they sat there and they smoked. And oh, I got this problem anyway. My throat was raw and I was coughing. And I one day there, I just really got on them folks for smoking. I really got on them. It wasn't like me, you know, and I just got them how bad that terrible old filthy habit you got and all that stuff, and it's, you know, it's not good for you. all that stuff. And I just really laid them out pretty good. And you know, after a while, we're sitting around there. And they went off in another room in there, a little sitting room in there, and they was watching their television in there. My sister and nephew were in the other room. And I'm sitting there. And I felt something. I felt something another. Didn't feel good. And I got to thinking, you know, I remembered when I smoked. I remember. Lord brought to my mind when I spoke and how I was bound. I could not give up cigarettes. I tried it. And if I hadn't got delivered and got saved and delivered and I was still living, I'd still be smoking today. I'd still be smoking. Knowing me, I would still be smoking today. And the Lord got to talk to me. And he said, you remember when you was like that? Remember when you was like that? You couldn't quit. Those folks have tried it. They've tried it. So what did I do? I have to get up, make my little trip into the other room. And I said, folks, I'm sorry. I want to ask you to forgive me. I said, I feel like that I didn't act right. I didn't say the right things. I didn't treat you like I should have treated you. And I want you to forgive me, both of you. Because I said, I know how them things are so binding. And I know it's hard. Just some people just can't hardly give them up at all. And I said, I'm sorry. Well, it really changed the atmosphere around there. And I said that to say this. If we're going to have to help the sinner, we're going to have to get where he's at. We can't be holier than thou. And we can't just say, well, you ought to quit that. You ought not do that. Well, a lot of us done a lot of things, didn't we, when we were saved, didn't we? In order for you and I to help the sinner, we're going to have to get down there and understand. You're going to have to get down on his level there and recognize. If you're living here today, somebody here today living with an unsaved companion, you need to try to understand that that poor man or woman is bound by the cords of his own sins. He cannot be a saint husband. Brother Stover said one time that you can only expect one thing out of sinners. And that's just sin. And you can't expect an unsaved husband to act and treat you like a saved husband. And vice versa, the wife also. And so, if you want to win that husband or win that wife to God, you're going to do it far more successful by trying to understand his condition and trying to help him. Help him. Don't discourage him. Don't criticize him. Don't put him down. Don't say how bad things are. But try to get underneath there and recognize I'm dealing with somebody who is bound in sin. I'm dealing with somebody who don't have control over their own spirit. I'm dealing with somebody that is a slave. The Bible says, whomsoever you yield yourself to serve and obey, to him whose servant you are. People that serve sin is a servant of sin. I believe the scripture said that. He that committed sin is a servant of sin. So we're going to have to. Paul said, I became all things that I might win some. That I might win some. So if we're going to win our loved ones, we'll never win them by criticizing. We'll never win them by putting them down. And we'll never win them by telling them how bad they are. Help. I'm talking about helping one another. Helping that poor sinner. And the best way I know is to be kind and gentle and patient and long-suffering and let them know that I'm really concerned about you. Show them, prove to them their love. Tony mentioned last night about the man at home a few years ago that committed suicide. I've grieved over that. He called me and wanted to come over to my house and stay a few days just before he shot himself. We already had a trip. My wife and I would plan to go up and see Brother and Sister Schroeder in Canada at that particular time. And I did tell him, if I remember right, we have making this plan to go. And when we come back, we're only going to be going about a couple days or so. When I get back, we'll talk about it, something like that. But I got a call while I was up there that he shot himself. The Lord help us today. We need help. Husband, help your wife to be what God, the kind of a wife that God wants her to be. Amen? Wife, help your husband to be the man that God has called him to be. The Lord help us. Saints, bless you and I. Support one another. Encourage one another. Hang in there, brother. It won't be long. I used to tell old Sister Sharp, and we had her in our home for about 9 months. She'd suffer sometime. I said, Sister Sharp, I can see it now. I said, it's just right down the road, right around that curve down there. I said, there's the victory, right around that curve. Just one more little stretch here, and we'll be there. We'll be there. That's what God wants us to do. Hang on. There'll be an end to it. I don't care what kind of trouble you're in today. There'll be an end to the thing. It won't last forever. It'll come to a close. And it'll be over. Stay in there, brother. Hang in there. I'm here. What are you going to do? I've told a lot of people, visited a lot of isolated people over the country in years. They say, well, we're isolated up here. What are we going to do? What are we going to do if we get down sick? I said, well, you see that little black line there that goes out that wall there? I said, that runs right into my house. That little line runs right into my house. Call. Anytime, day or night. Be there to help. We need to help one another to make it through. We want to make it to heaven when we die. We want to be together in heaven someday. And so let us, as saints of God, don't be suggesting try this. And another thing, may the Lord help us. I'll try to close it. Another thing is questioning. Questioning the teachings of the Word of God. Here's some old brother or sister who put their life on the line, trusting God. Well, I'm not even sure the Bible even teaches that. I'm not really convinced that that's actually the teachings of the Word. I'm not sure the Word even teaches that. That's very depressing, very discouraging. To say something that would leave a little doubt in somebody's mind. Well, see, somebody asked me one time, is trusting the Lord for our physical healing, is that a teaching or is that a privilege? Is that a teaching of the Word of God? Is that a teaching of Jesus? Is that part of the doctrine, part of the gospel? Or is it just something we take and use if we want to? If we don't, we don't. That's very discouraging, to question things like that. Yes, we believe the Scripture teaches you and I to trust God with our physical needs as same as our spiritual needs too. Encourage Him to do that. So may God bless us this morning. I hope you got something out of this. I know it's kind of a more of an instruction, teaching, maybe lesson this morning. But I felt burdened. I see so many young couples here. And oh, give me another few minutes. The Bible said something about training up a child in the way it should go. When it's old, it won't depart from that. I see so many young couples here that's got children. Oh, God is teaching them little children. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. God said, children, obey your parents. Well, parents need to help children to be able to carry that out. They need to work with them in such a way and bear with them and take time to teach them and take, don't just get over there and sit down. Shut up. Well, saints shouldn't talk like that anyway. But anyway, there's more to it than that. Quit doing that. I told you not to do that. That ain't going to get the job done. It takes some time to sit down and teach that child how to be obedient. It takes some time to train that child how to obey. It don't know how to obey. It's got old Adam sticking around down in there somewhere or another. And it's going to pop out. It's going to come out when you're not expecting it. But it's up to the parents to take time to help that child to be able to obey you. Did you ever hear tell of something like that? It's their duty and their responsibility to help that child, to teach it the values and the importance and the things that will make its life richer and better and all. But it's going to take time to do that. You're going to have to take some time. And let me tell you something else. You're going to have to do it together. Husband and wife are going to have to train your children together. In other words, you agree on what you're doing. Mama don't say, do this. My boys, when I used to travel the gospel, they stayed home with wife. Oh, they'd say, well, they want to do something or other that they knew what we did, that I didn't allow. And they'd say, well, Daddy won't know it. Daddy won't know it. But my wife never would do that. She never would do it. She would never let the children do anything if she knew that I didn't let them do it. Children will be all confused if mama lets them do something and then daddy, he don't let them do it. And you're crossed up in your teaching, crossed up in your instructions. Always agree on how to train your children together. Be in agreement. This is the best for my child, our child. This is the way we'll do it. And we'll be agreed on it. Is this all right? Is this all right? I'm talking about helping one another to be what God wants us to be. See, God's asking you and I to be these things. The Bible's commanding us to be these things. It teaches you and I. It teaches a wife to submit to her husband. It teaches a husband to love his wife. It teaches the saints to bear with one another. Support one another. And so it teaches us to train our children too, doesn't it? So what we're trying to do, not so much to raise them up what I want them to be. Oh, Lord, help us here. Not so much what I want them to be, but I'm trying to train them and teach them what God wants them to be. You see the difference? There is a difference. Some parents like to live their fantasies, some husbands especially, like to live their fantasies out through their boys. I know somebody like that. I've known different people like that. They never could play ball themselves, so they want to make a ball player out of their son. They want to make him. They've got a pride in fame. They want their son to be a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. And that's a personal thing. But what we want to do with our children it helped him to be what God wants him to be. Praying in him, not what I want him to be. I never had that thought before. Not trying to bring him up exactly what I would like for him to be, but bringing him up what God would want him to be. And teaching them submission and obedience and respect and honor. And that way, God can work and deal with them. Well, may the Lord bless you all this morning. I hope this will be a challenge. It's meant to be that, a challenge to us today. We're living in a time that we need all the help we can get. The pressure is on. Listen to me, saints. I know you may be cruising along. Things may be going real smooth right now. But the pressure is on. The pressure is on the church. The pressure is on the people of God. And we're being encompassed about, all about. The camp of the saints is encompassed about. There's doubts and fears and all. I'll tell you, if you bear with me a few minutes, I'll quit. The other night, or a couple of weeks ago, I'd went to bed about midnight, and I laid there, and no, it was about 1 o'clock, I think, and I laid there, and I coughed and coughed and coughed for about an hour, and laying there, I'd never been asleep, and the phone rang. And Brother Marty was on the phone. He said, "Tammy's suffering real bad. Can you come up?" I tell you, I got up out of that bed. There was a gloom came over me. There was a darkness come over me. Here you are praying for the last hour to get some help from yourself. And now you're going up to pray for somebody else. And you can't even get your own prayer through. Darkness came over us. And I went on up there. You know, I got down on beside of Tammy there in the bed and got down on her knees there. And we were praying. And in my mind vision, I seen a host of devils coming right at me. Just like an army. Like a football team. Just coming to get you. And there was a host of these things. And I looked at them. And they had a name on them. They had names. Right? It seemed like, if I remember right, maybe names were written on them somehow or another. And they were coming after me. And after us right there. And I seen that. One of them's name was discouragement. The other's name was depression. One of their names was doubt. And one of their names was fear. And one of them had the name of unbelief. They all had names. And they was coming at me. And here I am trying to pray for somebody that's suffering. And I began to rebuke the devil. I've been praying. Mother Marty is there with me. And we just began rebuking the devil. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. You have no place here. You got to stop where you are. And in my mind's vision, there was a big shield came up. Looked like that thing was about 10 foot around or something like this. A big old shield came up and came right between me and that bunch of devils that was coming at me. And you know, about that time, Tammy quieted down. Pain all left. And she had a good night. And if I remember, that's the time she kind of had 3 or 4 good days after that, I believe it was. But you and I are under pressure today. We need encouragement. Some of the saints are going through some real battles. Some real conflict. And they don't need your question about the teachings of the saints. They don't need that. And they don't need to hear about all that the doctors have done and all they've come up with. All the new medicines and drugs they've got. They don't need to hear about that. They need our encouragement to trust God and to stand true and be faithful. That's what we need. Let us help one another today. I know the Lord's our helper. But we need one another's help too. I certainly need your help, and I desire your prayer. I didn't think much this morning about the message maybe being an altar service, but I just thinking, if you're a husband here this morning and you don't feel like that you've been feeling the place that a husband ought to feel, why don't you come down here and ask God to help you? There's a lot of room here to pray. And just come down and, Lord, I want to be the husband to my wife that you want me to be. I want to be the father to my children that you want me to be. And Lord, I've been coming short. Now you can make some adjustments where you're at. But if you feel like this morning, just coming down here and making a commitment to the Lord and renewing your consecration with God. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father to my children. And Lord, I want your help. Wives, if you feel like you've been neglecting your home, being what you're supposed to be in the home, being what you're supposed to be as a mother, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you, so to speak, but if you feel like that you've been failing to be the mother that God is calling you to be, and you feel like it would help you to come down here and just talk to God about it, well, I feel like this would be a good time to come down and pray. And if you and I, all of us, if we've lost our burden for one another, and we've lost an interest in the welfare of our brothers and our sisters, we ought to pray to ask God to give us a greater burden and a concern for one another. So as we sing this song, we need each other, brother. We need the Lord, do we not? So if somebody wants to come down and pray, come right on and pray this morning.